Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Elkonen. He is the co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Now, Joel, let's start off big picture for U.S. equity markets. The markets right now, the S&P, Dow, NASDAQ, and the Russell, they are all in negative territory for the day, but not heavily negative, and they have rebounded off of a pretty quick sell-off from the first about 30 minutes of trading today. But there is one trend that I think we can outline and that we have been outlining, especially recently as we've gotten some of this better vaccine news. It's a broad rotation of money out of some of these stay-at-home stocks and into really these lagging sectors, and these sectors, rightfully so, that everyone was looking at saying, well, they don't have any demand or anywhere near the demand that they did because everybody's stuck at home and they're going to be stuck at home for a while. That narrative is slowly changing. How much do you think this is a trend to jump on for investors?
Very good questions, Corey, and thanks for having me. Yeah, there's a rotation out of these stay-at-home stocks. There's no doubt. Peloton, you have to wonder, you know, have these stocks seen their all-time highs? Peloton was a $140 stock, now clinging to the $100 level. Zoom, that was nearly a $600 stock, now trying to hold on to the $400 level. And when you see stocks make those kind of moves and they pull back this far, it really creates a dynamic that's very hard to overcome. And the dynamic is the first time when these stocks are going up, there's no pain. I'm long. This is going to the moon. I'm not selling, right? So you have that crowd that, you know, a little bit of seller's remorse. But then when it comes down like it has, then you have people that are like, oh, I missed it, but I'm going to buy it now, right? So you have all the buy the dippers, which is a strategy that's worked. But then when you don't get the sharp rebounds back, then you have two classes of investors that are trapped. The more long-term ones that are looking at, you know, oh, I want to sell it. If Zoom ever gets back to 450, I'm going to sell it. Well, it's at 397. Or someone that bought it on a day trade at 500. Oh, if this ever gets back to 480, I'm going to get out. So there's a lot of dynamics there with the vaccine news. The only thing I'll caution is that, and I'll just use American Airlines. When you got that spike last Monday, you know, on the Pfizer news, that thing almost hit 1450. You got similar news on Monday, and it only hit 13 bucks. And now you're trading at 1270. So, yes, there's some optimism, you know, and some rotation going on. But if you look what actually is going on with the virus, more lockdowns, you know, there are vaccines, none that have been delivered yet. You know, it's a very muddled picture. So will this rotation stick? I don't know. But the move out of tech and out of these stocks and into value, I don't know. It may be premature, Corey.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way, doesn't it? I get that we are getting better news on the vaccine front, but you and I were chatting off mic, and I was telling you just how much it seems like where I live in Vancouver, BC broadly, is heading more into a more lockdown time frame, I guess. It is the second wave, but our cases keep on rising, and everything you hear from the health authorities says that be ready for more restrictions to your daily life. Last time we heard about that, then money was flowing into these stay-at-home stocks. So do you think the market is able to look 3, 4, 5 months down the road past what undoubtedly is going to be a tough winter for everyone in the Northern Hemisphere in terms of lockdown and COVID cases just because we're getting this vaccine news? It seems like a very long outlook, a long time to ignore what's actually happening in the economy.
Oh, boy, Corey, you told me the tough questions. I hope the market's right. I hope the market's right. Do I know if it's right? I don't know. What I will say is that pandemics, and I think I've been consistent in saying this since I've been on the show, is that pandemics are not over in a week or a month or 2 months. Like all the people that were saying, it's nothing. You know, the summer's going to kill it. I mean, there was so I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that that American, Canadian people's behaviors are changed. Right. And am I willing to hop on it? I mean, I want to go on vacation. I want to get the hell out of my house. But, you know, I'm not going to do it until it's safe. So there's a lot of dynamics. So yeah, these stocks are going to rebound, but I just don't think that it's going to be like, hey, I'm going to Disney World. You know, I just don't think it's going to be that kind of thing. So I'm skeptical. These stocks will return. You know, people will return to air travel. I hope the market's right. I just am not investing like the market's right. And I've always been a boring investor anyway. So I like, you know, I've been getting pounded in these value stocks forever. So, you know, I'm more of an indexer. I own the S&P. So, you know, I don't care. If the S&P goes up, I'm happy. I, you know, have some individual stocks that, you know, I've been lucky with, some I have not been lucky with. But I think the market, I think the market's relieved that the election's over. It's not relieved that we don't have a concession yet. The market was worried about uncertainty. I think that as much as you've liked some of Trump's policies, the uncertainty, you know, people don't like to wake up in the morning and, you know, hear someone picking on someone else for their appearance or the way they act or anything. So I think there's a little bit more certainty in the market, and that's good. A split house. Now, if Georgia flips the, you know, Democrat and the Democrats get hold, there ain't going to be buying going on. There's going to be nothing like, there's going to be selling like you have never seen it before. So, man, there's just so many geopolitical things going on, so many things going on, you know, with the pandemic. And, you know, the markets are all-time highs. And like I always say, I come on the show, if you're Mr. Joe Investor from Toronto, Canada, and you're 80 years old and you're going to be living on this money for the next 5-6 years, or you want to pass it on to your children, I would be very careful. I would be very careful at this time. If you're a young buck like Corey, who's going to, you know, going to have kids and grandkids, going to be around for a long time, then buy the dip, being fully invested in the market. That's what I would give. And I know you could drive a truck in between that, but, you know, try to be careful with the investment advice, but you just got to be careful in this market. Anything, as we can see, anything can happen at any time.
Yeah. Oh boy, that this year has really taught us that shocks can come out of really anywhere, and they can impact our daily lives as well. But you're talking about, you know, maybe having at least some sort of a safety net, and maybe some investments that would be protected from any more shocks to the whole system or our daily life. Let's tie that into the moves in Bitcoin. I realize that Bitcoin, well, it can be looked at as a safety play, can also be looked at as a highly speculative market. Either way, Bitcoin is running higher, substantially higher, really took off starting in September when it was at a bottom of just over $10,000, now trading over $16,000. What's driving this move in Bitcoin, Joel, and how sustainable is it?
Oh boy, oh boy. I feel like I've been pretty consistently bullish Bitcoin, you know, on your broadcast here. And there's let me suggest, if you guys get a chance or any of your listeners, Mark Yusko, he's a well-known fund manager, hedge fund manager. He was on our show last week, and we ended up doing a 35-minute interview, and he really has been bullish Bitcoin for a long time. He was bullish on the way up, bullish on the way down. And I think the best way that I can explain it is we're going to a digital currency. We're already at a digital currency, right? I mean, do you take cash out of your pocket to do? I mean, I'm an old guy. I carry cash. But, you know, you use a credit card, right? You use a debit card. So we have already made this progression to a digitalized world, all right? Is Bitcoin going to be the main medium of currency for that? I don't know. But with the Fed, I think people find solace in the fact that there's just not more being printed and printed and printed. No matter what the Fed does, Bitcoin is going to have its value. The futures markets have come in and validated it, and it's been a much different rally this time up than it was last time. And I've been trying to get – I played it the first time up, and I did well, and then I didn't re-enter, and then I've been chasing it, and I have not been getting it. I decided to go with the GBTC, which is the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, just because I just don't like dealing with all the passwords and don't want to lose my key or whatever. But I listened to that interview Think about a digitalized currency world, and then think about whether or not you want to invest. It's an asset. I think whether people want to admit it or not, it's becoming an asset class.
Yeah, it really is. And you look at some of the actual use cases, those do continue to increase and look better. There are more uses. Just look at the recent transactions done by PayPal. They built up a digital coin wallet. They bought a lot of Bitcoin, and that could all be used in a roundabout way for accepting Bitcoin as payments for stuff. So I get that whole use case and some of the bullish factors behind Bitcoin.
Before you move on from that, and I'm old, so I tend to repeat myself. But did I tell you that the gas station that I go to when I fill my car up now about once a month, that they have a Bitcoin machine?
Really? A Bitcoin machine in terms of like an ATM Bitcoin?
You can redeem. I haven't used it because I don't have any money in Coinbase or anything. But, you know, let's say you need some money. And you got a Bitcoin. You own one, which is worth 17,000, and you want to take out 50 US dollars. Then you just take it right out of the Bitcoin machine. Huh. Yeah. So
growing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's growing. That's all I could say. You know, do I think it's going to 100,000? I don't know, but I don't think it's going back. Like, if you think it's going back like to 10,000, I don't think it's going back either. I think you're going to have to buy it. Buy it on the way up. It's hard to do. And then buy more when it goes down. This is not investment advice. I want you to know that.
Yeah, there you go. It's just what Joel's trying to do here. And hey, in all fairness, it has taken off over the last couple months. Let's wrap it up with some comments on the pharmaceutical companies that have made a lot of news over the last couple weeks. So Pfizer and Moderna, both of their stocks have done well on the back of their news, but we've seen a lot of volatility in their stocks as well. What do you think the play is, or what are you watching when it comes to both of these companies' charts?
Oh, man, it was a total sell the news event. It was such a sell the news event that the CEO of Pfizer sold 60% of his stake on the day that that was announced.
Yeah, I saw that. Did you know that? That doesn't look good.
Yeah. I don't know how much this is going to add to the bottom line. I mean, if you look at Pfizer, it's just... It did a spinoff today, so today is really hard to interpret the price action, but if you just go back, it had the big spike up. It came from this area, so if you know, this is the area to strike if you're so inclined to get long the issue, but it's just been a pig for a long time, and so I'm not investing in it. I mean, it has a little bit of dividend yield, but they're going to have to come up with more. Same thing with Moderna. That sold off hard on the day that the announcement was made. So I when I see sell the news, things like that, then it makes me hesitant. And so far it's been sell the news. And just one last thing before I let you go, sell the news in Tesla today. Holy smokes. Everyone knew Tesla was going to be getting added to the S&P 500. And it's been in a trading range. It went right to the top of the trading range and pulled back. So until it breaks out above 465, I'd be cautious here on Tesla.
All right, Joel, we're wrapping it up, and I am going to post a link to the Benzinga website where everyone can listen to the recordings of your pre-market prep show. Joel, it's great having you on the show. Thanks for taking time on this Tuesday morning.
All right, thank you.